Welcome to Rooting For You, a seasonal gardening podcast for non-experts. I'm Tess, and I know nothing.
And I'm Elise, and I know some things.
Each week, we'll chat about one gardening topic, and then discuss the effort-reward payoff by asking, is the juice worth the squeeze? Just a heads up, there might be a bit of swearing in this episode. You've been warned. Hello, listeners. So we literally have no idea how this happened, but in this episode we say succession planting about 100 times. And every single time we say succession planting, what we actually mean is crop rotation. We've got episodes on both of these topics, and they're entirely unrelated, which makes our muck-up even more confusing. So just as a little refresher for you, succession planting is planting at intervals throughout the season so that you continue to have produce available to you. Crop rotation is changing up each season the crops that you're growing in each patch so you don't deplete the soil nutrients of one thing over and over again. So when you're listening to this episode, every time we say succession planting, think to yourself, crop rotation, and you'll be right. Welcome to spring. This is a brand new season, and what's really exciting for this season is that we have so many fabulous episodes in our back catalogue for you to go and check out. Last year in our Introduction to Spring episode, we listed a whole bunch of really fun crops that you can grow in spring. And also, it's a really great time to grow perennial herbs and beautiful flowers like dahlias. So if you want to go back and check that out, please do. We're not going to do the same introductory episode because we already have that one out there for you to get stuck into. In today's episode, we're going to talk through planning my spring garden, which will hopefully give you a bunch of ideas as well to plan your spring garden. So, Elise, hello, how are you? How are you feeling about spring?
I am so excited. We've done winter, which frankly is the most boring time in the garden. We are now ready for the fun spring crops. And for anyone that's like new to edible gardening, this is the time to get started.
Absolutely. Weather's warming up. Now's the time to get your hands dirty. The
daffodils are out. Nature's telling us it's good to
go. Blossoms are out. It's all coming up spring.
It's all happening.
Okay, so starting to plan my spring garden, where I first started was thinking about back to last year's spring.
And that was going to be my first question.
Yeah. Mm. What were my hits and misses?
Yeah. Talk us through it. Now, for anyone new to the podcast listening, just as a very quick overview, let's summarize your garden in three sentences.
Okay. In three sentences, I have in my south-facing backyard, I have two raised garden beds that have dappled sunlight. And dappled is a word that Elise taught me, which means that I've got trees and they get a bit of shade.
They get a bit of shade. Yeah.
And then I have a north-facing front yard, which I don't have a garden bed in there, but I do have room that I can put things like the grow bags that we've referenced before, which it's just a pot. I mean, I've got room for pots.
Big pots.
Big pots.
Yeah.
The reason why I'm referencing north and south facing sunlight is because I think the most important thing I've learned doing this podcast is you actually have to know about sun in your garden.
Yeah. And we did a whole episode on this. So if you're listening and you're thinking, I don't know what any of that means or the importance, definitely go back and listen. And like I said in that episode, that was one of the biggest game changers for my gardening, was really knowing north facing, south facing, how much sunlight are you really getting? Is it full sun? Is it dappled light? Blah, blah, blah. Really important.
Yep. And also, what is casting shade on your garden beds, be it fences or trees or your house or your neighbor's house? Like, you know, understanding the shade and how much sunlight your plants are actually getting.
Exactly. So I would say you're on the smaller side of an edible garden.
Yep.
But, you know, we're obviously not talking about a balcony here. So bigger than some, smaller than some as well. So obviously because of that, we have to be very picky about how we plan our spring garden to get the most out of the space you've got.
Indeed.
Looking back at last year, what were some of your wins?
So tomatoes I grew, and I had both successes and fails with the tomatoes. So you gave me a seedling after. So I put two seedlings in, not the ones you gave me. I put two seedlings in the back, in the dappled light.
Yeah.
In a spot where tomatoes were planted the year before.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we could just list the fails there. It's not full sun. It's not probably succession planting.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe too close together. I don't know. Anyway, they weren't great.
Mm.
The seedling that then you gave me after I'd already put those in, I put in a big fabric grow bag out the front in the north facing sun. So much sunlight throughout the day, not worried about dappled light. And that was
gangbusters.
A monster. It was huge.
That was a real success.
Yeah. So what the lesson I've learned from that is I'm not going to worry about putting tomatoes in the dappled light.
Yeah.
Don't bother. Mm. It's not, you're going to get something, but not heaps of stuff with plenty of things that will grow in dappled light. So I'm just going to save that spot for something else.
Yeah.
Put the tomatoes in the sunny spot.
Yeah. And you know what is really interesting about that story is that you put the two ones that didn't perform in first.
Mm.
And how often do I say, get stuff in early, get stuff in early, get stuff in early? Because that is really important. But like you've highlighted, actually getting something in early but getting it in the wrong spot is like we can't just get things early and think that time is going to do everything because it's not. So getting something in later but getting it in the right spot actually turned out to be way more valuable than the early planting.
You can't create sunlight where there isn't sunlight.
No.
And also I think it was a learning process for me to understand how much dappled light actually does affect the garden bed and the actual sunlight.
The actual sunlight.
So that's lesson one from last year.
Mm-hmm.
My second lesson is I had zucchinis.
Mm.
And zucchinis are a fabulous crop for beginner gardeners because I got zucchinis off my plant, which, you know, is a big tick in anyone's book. If you're a beginner, 100% recommend. I've told you this before. Zucchinis are not my favorite plant to eat.
Mm.
So I've done those.
Oh, you get
they went well. I don't need to do them again.
Oh, I was thinking you'd be like, well, that was such a big success. We just got to run that again.
Nah, I'm going to move on.
She's trying something new.
Bigger and better things.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So zucchini's a cut. And that's like, that's one of our main lessons as well. Or the things that we say all the time is grow what you like to eat.
Yeah, totally.
So I'm not going to waste space.
No.
On a zucchini.
You know, I can't believe you're not going to grow. But, no,
but you know what? We, a bunch of people have requested an episode on zucchini, so we're going to do one.
We are. Yeah.
And everyone can predict what I'm going to do for squeezy juice.
I told you to grow the golden zucchini last year.
Which I did.
Love the golden zucchini, which you did. Fabulous. I wonder maybe if you'd grown just your good old blackjack, if that would have made it seem more usable.
Mate, they're fine. I don't know. I steamed them up. I put them in little zucchini muffins.
You did.
You know. I gave it a red hot crack.
Look, you did. Okay. Well, look, I think that's very brave to be like, oh, now the zucchinis, I'm going to try something else.
And they went wonderfully well.
Can
I tell you about my zucchini plant? Is this normal?
Mm.
It grew out like in a massive long line.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. Yeah. Okay. So, I didn't know that's how they grew.
Yeah.
It was.
They start off as like the bush and then they kind of trail a bit. And then the zucchinis keep coming off the
trail. Off the
trail.
Yeah. Exactly. So that is what happened with my.
Yeah. We should stop talking because we're going to talk about this in the zucchini
episode. We don't want to have too many spoilers.
Yes, exactly.
So that's what's happening with my lessons learned from last year.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to do this year, tomatoes again.
Of course, crack
I the gardeners. Love and cherry tomatoes are my pick as well. I think they're so easy for a beginner gardener, and you get a whole lot of bang for your buck because every time you're having a salad or whatever, you're just chucking in a couple, and then it's not the whole plant gone.
Mm.
Sometimes I've found with sprouting broccoli, for example, I can take down a whole plant
in
one meal.
Yeah, totally.
So. Cherry tomatoes, bang for buck, that is 100% what I'm going with this year.
Couldn't agree more.
Out in the full sun.
Can we talk about that for a bit longer?
Yeah.
So you're going to go in your front garden, north facing, lots of sun, brilliant. Because you're a pot gardener or a grow bag gardener in the front garden, what are you going to plant them in this time?
So I'm going to have to go and buy soil, which I know is not the, you know.
I don't hate that.
Well, you know, it's not the most
economic
way to do it, but that's what I'm going to have to do.
Because you're going to use, I'm asking, are you going to use the same grow bag you used last time and refill it?
Yeah. Is there anything wrong with using the same?
This is exactly what I was just, we've talked about this before, but to highlight for people, Tess had the grow bag out the front. She's got the tomato. It's gone gangbusters. If she plants another tomato in that same grow bag in that same soil, it's not going to go gangbusters.
Succession planting rules apply.
Yeah. So to go pots back as well. Yeah. And listen to the succession planting episode, because that is really important when we're talking about tomatoes. But like we said in that episode, cool, that was a great spot. The grow bag was the right size. The tomato did well. Let's repeat. Empty out the soil.
Mm.
Do it again.
Yep.
Freshy. Yeah. But what are you going to do with that soil?
Well, I hadn't thought about that.
Mm.
What could I do with it? Can I put it in my other
garden?
Yeah, my other garden. That's great. Right.
Yeah. Anything that needs a top up that isn't somewhere you're going to grow potatoes or tomatoes,
yep,
get it in there.
Okay. More things that are definitely on my spring list.
Mm.
Radishes. I love radishes. I know that we've spoken about radishes being a autumn veggie.
Well, no, they are a spring veggie too.
And we've spoken about the reason why they're not a spring veggie is that you're more at risk of bolting.
And you often don't have a lot of space in spring.
You often don't have a lot of space in spring. But when you see what I've done here, you're going to realize that I might have space.
Oh, okay.
This might – I don't know whether this is going to put listeners off me. It might.
What is she going to say now?
I'm not sure about growing any of like the huge big ticket items this year, like your pumpkins and your zucchinis that take up a heap of room.
You're going to niche it.
I'm going to niche it. I'm going to do smaller stuff that I get – yield from time and time and time again throughout spring. So that's my spring theme.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
I like it. I wouldn't say you should grow a pumpkin. So good. I think for a small garden that makes total sense. And it's, you know, it's exciting to try new crops out. As much as I'm sad you're not growing zucchinis. Like, you're right. What are you going to do? Just grow tomato and zucchini every spring for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
Like, let's try other crops, see what you like, see what does well in your garden, et cetera, et cetera.
Indeed. So it's very much like a learning. I'm still in the learning space on what's good in my garden and succession planning and all of that jazz. So
radishes are going in.
Radishes going in.
You know what I don't hate about you planting radishes in spring is that – remember when we talked about kale and Brussels sprouts and I stressed more than life itself, you've got to get them in summer for a winter harvest.
Mm.
So if you plant radishes throughout spring, they're going to go well in spring because it's not particularly hot, but it's hot enough that you're going to get a really quick harvest, but not so hot that your radishes are going to be cactus like they would in the middle of summer. Then once the radishes are done, you could come in with a more beginner option kale, a more advanced option Brussels sprouts. And that timing's going to work well.
Yeah, okay.
Whereas if you did go with zucchinis and pumpkins, you're not going to have any space come summer for those winter crops.
Yeah.
So I don't hate having at least partially of your garden being a spring crop that is a fast crop like radishes to give you the space for the summer planting for the winter harvest. Mm. Thinking ahead, you know, we've always got to be a bit careful with our planning.
Yeah.
Or not, or you don't care. But I'm always trying to maximize it.
So other things that are on my list, apart from the radishes, strawberries are going to be back this year.
Fabulous.
Now, I had strawberry plants last year. And I think in probably around summer, the bush might have gone a bit brown.
Mm-hmm.
And my lovely partner thought they were dead and threw them out.
Strawberry plants do often look shit at some point and do get a lot of brown. If you've killed them, you've killed them. But what I would suggest, had he not chucked them out, is you'd leave them, right? Over winter, they're not going to do anything anyway. And then now come spring, you probably would have seen a little green thing kind of come out of the middle and you could just trim off all that brown shit and it would come back to life.
Yeah.
Often strawberries look bad, but they're not bad. So hopefully we can use this as a warning for everyone else.
Yeah, don't throw your strawberries
out. I mean, if you have killed them, you've killed them, but actually you probably haven't.
Mm.
So you're going to start again?
I'm going to start again on the Strawberries. Yeah. I had to fight probably possums or birds or some critter for my strawberries. I don't think I got many last time because so I need to think about how I'm going to do some kind of a netting situation to stop those buggers from pinching all my fruit.
Strawberries are easy to net because they're so small. Like it's not the same as netting a fruit tree or even like berry canes. It's pretty simple to do. So I think
that's another lesson learned from me.
And also, you know, that was the first year of that strawberry plant, given strawberries are perennial, stay in the ground all year round. Had those plants still been in existence, you would have naturally got a much bigger harvest this year anyway. So now you are kind of like back to square one with it.
Yep.
Which is not the end of the world, but you will get less in your first year.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to know.
And you're going to grow them in pots again?
Going to grow them in pots again. Brilliant. Because they stay in the ground all year round.
Yep.
Beans, which is on my topic of things that I can get harvest from.
I was thinking this when you. By the way, everyone, we have an episode all about growing strawberries and there's a lot of, I'd say strawberries are like a little bit, they're not hard, but they're a little bit specific. There was a few bits and pieces going on.
They're a bit different.
Yeah. So I definitely recommend if you want to grow strawberries, listen to that. There's also a beans episode.
Yes. Now, this is where I'll get to my question section.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Also, I'm going to do herbs. I'm going to do basil. I'm going to do coriander. I mean, everyone who listens to this podcast already has heard me say this. I cannot get enough herbs in my garden because I friggin' hate buying them.
Yes.
Because they're so expensive.
And they're so easy to grow. Expensive, you waste them.
Yeah.
They're never fresh. Probably because my garden's so big I don't give it enough credit. But for someone with a smaller garden, really herbs, if that's all you grew, that would be worth it.
And
right?
Definitely, if you're a balcony or small spaces person, I would prioritize herbs.
Yeah. And because herbs are leafy crops, not fruiting crops, like I've always said, you can easily just plant them in a smaller pot. You're just going to get less of a harvest, but it's always a win.
Yes.
So you don't have to worry about, I've got to get this plant to like minimum viable size to get what I actually want off it. With the beans, are you going bush beans or climbing beans?
I'm going bush beans.
Okay.
Because I probably
don't have a trellis.
Yeah, I don't have a trellis and I don't really know how to set one up. Yeah. I mean, I probably could, but I'm going bush because I know it's a bit easier.
Yeah, go bush.
Yep.
I think bush are easier. Climbing give you a bigger harvest, but bush are great for beginners, so do bush.
Something that I didn't do last year, I didn't do many of these things last year, but edible flowers.
Yeah.
Which are just something that's fun.
You had nostertiums, I'm sure.
No, you're right. I wonder whether they'll come back up.
I think they will.
Nostertiums. Yep. I didn't actually eat the flowers from...
Oh. Well, what a shame.
Eat
the flowers and the leaves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that is a win.
What other edible flowers were you thinking?
The little blue and white ones.
Oh, the violets. Violas.
Yes. Just, I mean, mostly because it's...
They're cute.
They're cute. Mm. I just go for the ones that are cute, really.
They're small as well, small plants, which is excellent.
And I'm picturing them as kind of in between the other things that are going on in my garden. So going for the small ones there, not those big beasts like the... Is it the cornflowers?
Oh, the cornflowers. Yeah. No, to the cornflowers. Yes, to the violets and the violas.
Okay, so this is now my question section for you about things that you think that I should put in.
Yes.
So I had a crack at cucumbers last year. They didn't go particularly well. Thinking about having another crack at them again, are cucumbers okay for a dappled light situation or direct sun all day long?
Cucumbers, being in the fruiting family, do not like the dappled light. So I would be hesitant to put them somewhere where you had such a fail with the tomatoes last year. That to me says too much shade.
Okay.
But having said this, cucumbers hate drying out. They really actually can. People say they're a really easy beginner crop. I actually don't think they are. I still think you should grow them.
Yep.
But they're not, they're a little bit of a fussy prick. So I'm thinking, like, we're sitting in Tessa's house now, I'm thinking the back garden, south facing, not sunny enough. But I actually think your north facing front garden might be too sunny. But then, you know, the other thing is because you're a pot gardener out there, we can position the cucumbers potentially so they get some afternoon shade from your tomato. Because your tomato is going to be bigger than your cucumber.
Mm.
So they can, I think front garden definitely, but we just need to make sure one, it doesn't dry out and two, maybe put it in a position that's going to get some shade.
Yeah. And when you say front garden, you mean north facing garden.
Yeah, the north facing garden. That's how we should refer to it.
So Sprouting broccoli we spoke about in autumn. What are your views on growing it in spring?
Yeah, I'm for it.
For it?
Yep, for it.
And we've just got to watch out for the cabbage moths.
Well, if you got them planted now, like absolute start of spring, you're probably, actually I'd say definitely, you're going to get the whole thing done and dusted out of the ground before the cabbage moths and butterflies have really taken off.
Okay, that's good to know.
But you got to do it now.
What are your thoughts on beetroots as a beginner crop?
Well, for all my thoughts, go back and listen to our beetroot episode. Tess's
have
face
we done
is
a beetroot
like,
episode?
What? There's a beetroot episode? There's definitely a beetroot episode. Is there not?
I don't think so.
Oh, I reckon there is. I don't know. Let's see who's right.
I really don't think there is.
I reckon there is. I'm going to go look now. We've gone back through the catalogue. Tess is correct. Elise is wrong. We have not done a beetroot episode. Let us know if you want a beetroot episode.
When's the right time to plant beetroots, firstly?
Beetroots can actually be planted most of the year.
Okay.
Yeah. Getting back to your question without going too detailed into the beetroots, they're in the ground for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say unless you were like a really big beetroot fan, in a garden your size, I wouldn't plant them.
Okay.
However, saying that, the biggest advantage of beetroots, in my opinion, is they can hang out in the soil for ages. So you know when a cucumber or a zucchini is ready to harvest, it's like, I'm ready, 2 day, harvest me now. Beetroot can hang out for ages.
And you can eat the beetroot leaves.
And you can eat the beetroot leaves. This is why I feel like we've talked about them in some concept. Clearly not a beetroot episode. But yes, the leaves are edible. They're just like silver beet. You can blend them up raw in a smoothie or you can saute them, whatever. And then the actual beetroots themselves. So love the beetroot. Do I think you should grow it? No.
Okay.
Unless you love beetroot. Do you love beetroot? You do.
I do love beetroot, but I don't think I could ever grow enough that it would be.
Well, that's the thing. You'd like, you'd do a beetroot risotto and that'd be your entire garden, yeah. Your entire patch. Yeah, no.
So the other thing that I might put in, now that I've axed beetroots, maybe silver beet.
I think that's a good idea.
Mm.
Get it started. Like it'll grow quite – you can plant silver beet all year round, but now in spring with a bit of heat, it'll actually grow quite fast. So you'll be eating silver beet really soon. And that's one of those biennial ones that stay in the ground for a couple of years. So if you get that in now, you're going to have the benefits of that for up to 2 years.
Great one.
Mm.
And finally, I've got one garden bed that – I've never grown anything particularly well in it, and I don't think it's got a whole lot of sun.
Mm.
Can I put either potatoes or Jerusalem artichokes in a kind of shady spot?
No.
Okay.
You know what I'd put in your kind of shady spot? Your silver beet.
Ah, okay.
You also mentioned coriander earlier. Now, coriander, which, correct me if I'm wrong, Tess, but we have done an episode on this.
We've done herbs episodes. I think they're probably part of those.
Okay, fabulous. Now, coriander hates the heat, really hates it.
Okay.
So growing it in spring is fine, but once summer heat comes, if that's getting a decent whack of sun, it's going to bolt and you're not going to get.
Sure. Okay, so what would be your top spring herbs?
Basil.
Yep. We should do an episode on basil.
We definitely should do an episode on basil. Parsley you can grow in spring. I mean, you can grow parsley all year round.
My parsley is going absolute gangbusters, so I don't need
fabulous.
More parsley.
You don't need more. But I think a lot of the other herbs like chives, they're actually a perennial, stay in the ground all year round, but you do plant them in spring. We can plant them in some – like spring's a great time to plant chives, so if that's of interest to you. But in a shady spot that things aren't going well, other crops haven't gone well, coriander is going to love that.
Oh, okay.
Silver beet – will also be fine there. It just will grow slower, but it will be fine.
What about the Asian herbs like Vietnamese mint?
Vietnamese mint is a perennial stay in the ground all year round.
Oh, okay.
Yep. That can handle some shade. Of course, it'll do better in the sun, but it can do shade. Mm-hmm. But if you were going to put that in, then you're committing to that to be your Vietnamese mint spot.
Yeah,
sure. I would put Vietnamese mint in a pot.
Okay.
And then in winter, you can move it into a sunnier spot. And then in summer, you can whack it back in the shade.
I love it.
Yep.
I think that was everything I was going to put in, talk about, mention today.
Well, I have a question for you.
Go.
What about your peas? You love your peas.
I do love my peas.
And spring is the time.
Okay. I'm going to get some peas in.
Yeah. We've got a whole episode on peas.
Do peas and snow peas grow the same way?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay.
They are obviously quite different to eat, but as far as growing them, exactly the same advice, which is, you know, why we did them in one episode combining. Yeah. Also, I've said this in the succession planting episode, but as someone that has grown a lot of fruiting crops, your zucchinis, your tomatoes,
yes,
et cetera.
Yes.
Peas are a brilliant one to follow that as mm-hmm. far as nurturing our soil.
Okay, great.
And I think they're a great beginner crop. We love eating them, et cetera, et cetera. So they're, I think, a worthy spring addition, even in a small garden like yours.
And they'll fit into my theme for this year of things that
exactly
are pretty hard and fast.
Yeah. And, you know, you can put in one plant and get a modest harvest, or you can put in, you know, 10 plants. Like, they are one of those things that's not like we need a whole garden bed devoted to our peas. We can just do as many or as little as you want.
Mm.
They will grow exceptionally fast in spring, which is very exciting.
Love that. I love that.
So you reckon you got your plan sorted?
I think I do. I need to draw a picture. That's what I need to do next.
Do. Maybe we can just do a quick sum up of everything you're going to plant this year, this spring.
Okay. Everything I'm going to plant this year. In my north-facing spot where I get lots of sun, tomatoes and cucumbers. And cucumbers are going to be positioned so that they get some of the tomato afternoon shade.
Fabulous.
Shade from the tomato plant, however best to say that. Herbs, beans, peas, silver beets, strawberries, radishes, edible flowers.
That's a fabulous collection for
A mid-sized yeah.
suburban edible garden.
Let us know what you're growing at home this year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you love or hate my list, I'm happy to receive feedback on it.
I'm also fascinated if other people are going to take your approach and say, okay, well, I nailed that crop last year. Let's do something different. Or whether they're going to be like, I nailed that crop last year. I'm going to keep going.
Yeah,
I'm going to
do it again. Yeah.
I'm really intrigued by that. So let us know your thoughts.
Yes, please. And also being I'm calling it a brand new year because that's how spring always feels.
Totally.
If you do love what we're doing on the podcast, feel free to rate us on any of your podcast apps or leave us a message. But most importantly, tell a mate about us, because we think that the best thing about our rooting for you listeners is the community.
Absolutely.
So build your own in real life community as well as our online community and share this with someone you love too.
Yeah, exactly. And anyone that's ever been interested in edible gardening, I cannot stress enough, now is the time to start. So, yeah, please share. Spread the love.
And we're rooting for you. Rooting for You is hosted by Elise and Tess. You can find us on Instagram @rootingforyoupod or email rootingforyou@elisealexandra.com.